If you'll open up your Bibles, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4 today, and I want to share some things with you, the Lord's laid upon my heart. And 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8 tells us, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Folks, in our lives, the Bible encourages us here that we need to be sober. And now that doesn't, we're not necessarily talking about alcohol here, but the effects of alcohol. Somebody who gets drunk, they're not in their right mind. Someone who drinks, things are a little fuzzy, and they do things that they wouldn't normally do. And they don't think the way they ought to be thinking. The Bible says here, be sober. We need to be straight in our minds. We need to make sure that our minds are set on the right things. And it says, and be vigilant. Be looking around. Be careful, and always looking for, and as we're going to see here, as it says, because your adversary, the devil, folks, the devil comes to us in deception, in deceit. The devil's never going to walk up to you and introduce himself and say, "Here I am, I'm the devil, I'm here to make your life miserable." He's always going to come to you in a form, in a fashion, as the Bible says. He'll come to you as light. He's going to present things to you in such a way where it's going to sound good. And where sin is justifiable. The Bible says we're not only to be sober, but we're to be vigilant. That means we're to be watching, we're to be careful, we're to be looking at every corner. The focus here is, it says, your adversary, the devil. The devil is never your friend. The devil's crowd is never your friend. Never will be your friend. No matter how compassionate they may appear to be, no matter how good they talk, no matter how much they give. You know, folks, the devil blesses. The devil passes out blessings. The devil passes out financial blessings. And the devil passes out some things. But what you need to always keep in mind, folks, is the devil is, the Bible says, our adversary. He's against us. And especially those of us who are saved, born again, and bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is against us at every turn. And no matter what, how it looks, no matter how it may seem, the Bible says, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know, if we're not careful, the devil that's walking around amongst us today, you say, "Oh, well, the devil isn't here in the church." Yeah, he's here. He's here. And he's walking around. And you know what he's looking for? He's looking for somebody that will let him in. He's looking for someone that's going to allow him. You know the biggest thing that destroys churches, good fundamental churches across America? The devil. In the mouth of Christians, and so the Bible says that we need to be careful. The devil is as a roaring lion, and again, what does a lion do? You know, a lion will sneak so far on a herd of animals, and then he'll roar real big when he's really close. You know what that's for? That's to scatter the crowd. That's to get the crowd running somewhere. And you know what? He doesn't go after the one that's running fast. He goes after that one that kind of gets separated from the crowd and is off somewhere and defenseless. And the Bible says that his goal as the roaring lion is seeking that he may devour. And if we're not careful, brothers and sisters in Christ, we'll let the devil devour our church, and he'll do it, and it'll happen very quick. This morning I'm going to ask Brother Cleo to come up, and Brother Cleo, if you'll read Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 21, and go ahead and take us all the way down to the end of the chapter, verse number 32.
Morning, beloved. It's surprising that there's an extremely large crowd across the world that actually thinks Satan wins in the end. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 through the end of the chapter. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you.
All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, Lord. We again thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity that we can come together as a church, Lord, to look into your word, Father, to learn the things that you have for us, Lord, the things that you have taught us. And Father, I just pray now that you would be with the needs that are represented in the auditorium this morning. Father, there's a need of salvation in the auditorium today. Lord, I pray that those that need to be saved would get saved. Lord, I pray that there's physical needs in the auditorium this morning. Lord, I pray that you would meet those needs. Lord, there's financial needs. Lord, I pray that your will would be done in a mighty way amongst our midst here today. And Father, I pray that as we look into your word, Lord, I pray that we take it to heart. Lord, I pray that we would do the things that you tell us to do in your word. And Father, we'll love and thank you for it. In your name we pray. Amen. This morning, I'd like to talk to you a little bit here. The Bible says in verse number 27, neither give place to the devil. And I entitled the message here this morning, neither give place to the devil. You know, a lot of times what I say and how I say it matters. And I want to talk to you today about conversation. How many of y'all, you know, and I grew up hearing this, and, you know, I'd come in and, you know, as a kid, and I'd be telling my mom, you know, somebody called me a name, somebody made fun of me, and she would always say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Now, I love my mother to death, but that's a lie. That's a lie. You know, and again, I understand the message behind that. You know, don't worry about it until it becomes physical. Don't get all shook out of shape. But today, communication is, and especially amongst Christians, and communication amongst the world is at an all-time low. And it's hurting a lot of people. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, I want to encourage you, and I'm going to show you some things here in God's Word today. I want to encourage you to be careful of what we say to one another, what we say about one another, because again, words hurt, words divide, and a lot of times things can become a misunderstanding. You know, folks, and I'm going to throw this in here, texting and messaging and Facebook and internet communication. Christians, can I give you a big recommendation? Stop it. Amen. Stop it. You know, it's easy to text something when you're not looking at somebody in the face and speaking your mind. You know, a lot of times we'll text things that we would not say to someone to their face. You know, if you wouldn't say it to their face, you probably ought not be texting it. And again, a lot of things, folks, get misunderstood when we text and when we message, because again, you're not seeing that person's face. It can give a lot of hurt. And I want to caution you, children of God, I want to caution you, church, let's be careful. Because again, we want to make sure in our church that we give no place for the devil. First Peter tells us what the devil's up to. The devil would like nothing better than to destroy Faith Independent Baptist Church. And you know how he'll destroy it? By communication. Let's see what the Word of God has to say about communication. First of all, in verse number 21, it says, "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus." And again, what I want to show you here this morning is from God's Word. It's not just Pastor Mark's opinion, although I agree, and I even had to get on my knees before God and confess some things in my heart here this morning as I was preparing for the message. But the Word of God shows us some things here, and the Word of God tells us some things. First of all, in verse number 22, it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. Christians, when we get saved, our conversation should change. Our conversation should be different. Our conversation should not be a conversation, as the Bible says here at the end of that verse, it talks about deceitful lust. Deceitful lust. That word deceit is, and we know this and we understand, it is deception. We're very good when we get in situations of being deceitful to serve our own purpose. You know, I'll give you some good examples about this. And again, I'll have to raise my hand and say, when my kids were young, I did this, once or twice, and it wasn't right. We go to the restaurant. Kids under 12, there's one price. Kids over 12, it's a higher price. And I remember looking at my children and say, "You're under 12 today." Now again, what was that? That was a lie. It was deceit. It was also lust, because what I was wanting is something that I was not entitled to. Do you realize that's what lust is, folks? Is when you want something that you are not entitled to it. And what I did is I lied in order to get it. I've had this circumstance, and I had a guy here a few months back really get mad at me, because I sold him my truck, and he wanted me to put on the title a whole lot less than what he paid for it. And I told him, I said, "I can't do that." He said, "Well, yeah, but if you don't do it, I'm going to have to pay all these taxes." I told him, I said, "But I can't." I said, "First of all, it's illegal. Secondly, I'm a pastor, and it's against against everything I believe. I can't." And he really got upset and angry with me and almost didn't go through with the deal, but the deal he got was good enough, and I wasn't worried about that. But again, that's happened to some of us where we've gone and we've been deceitful, and we've done some things so that we could get out of paying. And again, the Bible says here that we should put off. We should take it off and set aside the former, the Bible says, the former conversation of the old man. You know, when we get saved, Christians, our speech and our talk ought to be different. How we talk, what we talk about, and even what we look about, because the Bible says here the former conversation. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be participating in conversation that is not pleasing to God. And the Bible goes on to say, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. Again, folks, I want to encourage you as Christians and as members of Faith Independent Baptist Church, I want to encourage you to put off the former, the past, and take on something new. Because the Word of God goes on to tell us here in verse number 23, it says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And again, what we need to begin to do is we need to begin to think about what we say. And we need to be careful about what we say. And the Bible tells us here it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know what, folks, when I looked at that and I got to thinking about that, I thought, well, we need to be thinking about what we speak, or we need to be thinking about what we say. But you know what, folks, you know what we, as Christians, what we need to do is we need to let our heart speak for us. When we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have a renewed heart. We should be different. The Bible says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Let our hearts speak for us. Be careful. Use the tools God has given us. When we get saved, we get the Spirit of God within us. As a Christian, I've said some things, and as soon as it's come out of my mouth, I've thought, that wasn't what I should have said. And to be honest, before it comes out, the Holy Spirit of God's in there saying, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Don't let that come out of your mouth. And folks, the Bible says that we as believers, we ought to put that off. We ought to take that off. We ought to set it aside, the conversation of the old man. And then verse number 24, it goes on to tell us, and that ye put on the new man. We're not only supposed to take something off, but we're supposed to put something on. You know, if we take it off and we leave a void there, it's too easy to put the old man back on. And so what the Bible tells us here is we're not only to take it off, but we're to put on the new man. You know, we ought to, sometimes what we ought to do is we ought to learn and get some new vocabulary. And again, when we take off the old and we put on the new man, things that come out of our mouth will be different, because the Bible goes on to tell us, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Folks, when we put on the new man, what happens is our speech will change. And the Bible says it's after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You know, we need to make sure that what we say is in righteousness. And what we're talking about there is that it is lined up with what the Word of God says. And how the Word of God teaches. You know, again, I use the illustration of the man that I sold my truck to. You know, I would have loved to have saved him a lot of money. There's been a time or two when I've been in his shoes, and I would have loved to have saved a lot of money. And not have to pay. In fact, a good illustration with that is the time I bought a motorcycle. In Kentucky tax. I don't like Kentucky tax. It's too expensive. It's unfair. It's not right. And I'll leave it right there. But I didn't want to pay that Kentucky tax. And you know, it was tempting, because nobody at that particular time, because the man who sold me the motorcycle, he just signed the title and he handed it to me. I could have put on that line whatever I wanted to put. And folks, I'll be honest with you, it was tempting. Because I could have saved myself a couple $100. But I put on the line what I bought the motorcycle for, because it was right. It was honest. It was the thing that I was supposed to do as a Christian. And the Bible here talks about a righteous and true holiness. Folks, as we've said before, people, we're the only Bible that the lost world is going to start reading. And what they see in our life, and what the holiness that they see in our life, will be revealed. You say, well, you know, preacher, you were saying no one else would have known except for you if you would have put the wrong number on there. You know, remember the Bible, the verse we started out with, the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's my adversary. The devil does not hide the lies that you tell. I guarantee you, when you begin to lie, and we all know this, our parents taught us this, you have to tell another one to cover up that one. And then you have to tell two more to cover up the two that you covered. Then you have to tell four more to cover up those four that you're already in. And eventually, somewhere down the line, it comes out. And Christians, you know who looks bad? God does. God does. Because I guarantee you there's people out there that are watching. And so, we, and again, the context of the scripture here, what we're talking about is putting on. When we take it off, what we're doing is we're giving it over to God and not allowing this. And when we're putting when we get saved, we're to take it off. And then when we live for the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to put it on. It says the new man. And then it says here, it gets descriptive in verse number 25. It says, wherefore, putting away lying. You know, many times, brothers and sisters in Christ, we justify what we do. We'll tell a lie. And sometimes we call them little white lies, but whether it's a little white lie or a big ugly black lie, it's still alive. And the Bible says that we are to not only to put off and then to put on, it's saying here that we need to be putting away lying. Christians, you ought not be found lying for whatever reason. Now, you say, okay, well, I'll speak the truth. And the Bible says here, it says, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Now, can I put a disclaimer in here? Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to reverse God's word. But you know what? There's some truth that you don't need to be saying. There's some truth that you just need to keep to yourself. But the Bible says here that we're to put away lying. You say, well, now, what are you talking about when you're talking about lying, preacher? I'm talking about anything that's not the truth. If you have to tell a lie to make somebody feel better, well, then it's better probably to just not say anything. And if you've got to tell a lie to, I face this as a missionary. You would be surprised many times crossing the border of Mexico, missionaries, and again, I'll confess, including myself, lied getting things across the border. You say, well, you know, it was a justifiable lie. I was doing this for the sake of the Lord. Well, what I was doing for the sake of the Lord, or what I was trying to get across the border, was the word of God. But that still doesn't justify a lie. Because you know what I did there? I didn't put my faith and trust in who God was. You know, and a few times I did that, but one time I took some Bibles across the border. It took me 4.5 days to get them in the country. Now, if I'd have just lied, I would have got in the day I took him in the first time. But I had to go back, and I had to go back, and I had to go back. And I was kind of wondering, you know, Lord, you know, I'm being held up here, and this is an inconvenience. But nevertheless, folks, we need to be careful. The Bible says, put away lying. Speak every man with truth his neighbor. You know, folks, we need to be honest with each other. And we need to be honest in the words that we say. And, you know, sometimes we'll say something and we'll be talking with someone and we'll say something that we shouldn't say. And then we'll say, oh, I was just kidding. I didn't mean that. Don't lie. You meant what you said. You meant what you said. Lying is covering it up with I'm just a kidding. And you say, well, why is that important, preacher? Because a lot of times, I wouldn't say a lot of times, everybody knows the truth. Everybody knows how you really feel. And what happens, church, when we do that, we begin to cause resentment amongst each other. And yes, we've brushed it over. We've covered it up with a, "I'm just kidding." Or on text, LOL. We need to be careful on what we say and how we say it. And the Bible says that we need to put away lying and speak truth, every man with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. You know, folks, we need to keep in mind of who we are. The Bible says we're member one of another. We are the children of God. We have one Father. We ought to be loving one another. We ought to be cherishing one another. Now, verse number 26 says, "Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." You know, sometimes when somebody lies to me or says something mean and hateful, and then they back it up with a, "Oh, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean it." You know, the Bible says, "Be ye angry." You know, there's sometimes you have a justifiable right to be angry at something that someone said to you. But can I encourage you to look at the rest of that verse? It says, "And sin not." And sin not. And it tells us what the sin is. It goes on to say, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." What you need to do is you need to talk to that person. You need to let them know that, "Hey, I was offended." You need to work on making that right, and don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because you know what happens when you hold it in? It festers. You know, it's like getting a big splinter in your finger. That one is really hard to get out, and the longer you leave it there, the more it hurts. The more it gets infected, the more it festers, until one day you can't avoid it anymore. And what you got to do is you should, I go in and I get me one of them those pins my wife sews with, and I begin to dig, and I begin to dig until it comes out. But you know what? During the whole time, there's pain. There's a lot of things that I do that I wouldn't normally do, and we need to be careful. The Bible says, "Be angry." You know, when someone hurts your feelings, it's okay to be upset. But it's not okay to stay upset. Because what happens is it gets festered. And what happens, you begin to look at fault. You begin to look, because see, the devil, he's an adversary. And it says here in the Word of God in verse number 27, "Neither give place for the devil." And when you hang on to it, when you don't get it right, what winds up happening is you begin to look for fault in the person that offended you. And you know what? If you look at me long enough, if you follow me around all day long enough, you're going to find reason to be upset with me. You're going to find some reason to be upset with me. You know, I know there might be somebody here this morning in the auditorium that don't necessarily like this preaching, don't necessarily like what I'm saying. But when I encourage you to do, be angry and sin not. Don't let it fester. Because what will happen is the devil will cause you to look for reason to have fault. Look for reason to have a problem. And you know what that does, folks? At that divides. As I've said many times, when you pick a side, you divide. And what happens when you begin to divide, and when you let that fester, what happens is you begin to talk to your group. And this is where the lie grows. Because again, the deceitful lust, I promise you, you won't tell the story exactly how it happened. Because what you're going to do is you're going to get your group over here on the side, and you're going to start talking to them about what happened over here. And you want to make sure that you leave out the part that made you look bad. And you'll only give them the part that made you get offended. And what happens is then there begins to be division. Church, there is no place in Faith Independent Baptist Church for division. We need to stay unified together. Again, I know people say things. I know I say things. I know I do things that I shouldn't do. I know people say things to me that they shouldn't say. But what I need to be... my response to what someone says here, and this is what this verse is talking about, be angry and sin not. My response of how I react to what someone has said to me can be as much sin as what the person said to me. You know, I really think, and sometimes, and this really does happen a lot of times, we'll say something and someone will misunderstand what we said. And we didn't really mean it as we said it. It just came out. And folks, I know I am guilty of that. And I can put both hands up where I will say something, and I didn't mean it like it came out. You know, a lot of times I'll offend somebody, and I didn't even realize I've offended them. Now, I'll be honest, that happens very little. Usually, if I say something to somebody, I meant to hurt. I meant to hurt. But again, what do we do with that? Well, we don't let the sun go down on our wrath. You need to make sure, as the Word of God says here, before the sun goes down, you need to make sure that you make that right with the person that you're offended. You know, and husbands and wives, that'll take you a long way. That'll help you a lot of sleepless nights and help you stay off the couch if you take care of things and get it done. And the Bible has a reason for all the things they say. And yes, when you're offended, it's okay to be angry. But when you allow your sin and your anger to fester, it will cause you to look for problems, and it will cause you problems down the line. In the Bible here, in verse number 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." And again, the Word of God is very clear. We need to be careful that no corrupt communication comes out of our mouth. And again, you know, corrupt communication comes out because of the condition of our heart. See, the corruptness comes from within. When we have unconfessed sin, when we have unconfessed resentment, and when we don't take care of those things, what happens is the reason it comes out and it proceeds out of our mouth is because it's already in there. And it says, "Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good is to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearer." We need to be careful, and we need to make sure that the good that comes out of our mouth, you know. And sometimes we got to go to somebody, and we've got to kind of be direct, and we got to get some problems taken care of. But you know, there's a way to do that. There's a way to do that. Anybody can be approached if they're approached the proper way, and talking to and the minister, as the Bible says here, that he may minister grace unto the hearer. You know, when you're going to somebody with a problem, you want them to hear you. You know, I remember growing up as a kid, my mom and dad would get into arguments. And, their arguments would get loud and vocal. But you know what I observed in those arguments? Nothing getting accomplished. Because, you know, my mom was not thinking about what my dad was saying. She was just waiting for him to breathe so she could get her point in. Now, Tammy's mom and dad, they were the other way around. They'd get mad at each other, and they just didn't speak to each other. They'd go weeks without speaking to each other. You know what I observed in that? Nothing got accomplished. Because the Bible here, it's talking about communication. And we as brothers and sisters in Christ ought to be communicating with each other in grace in love. We are going to offend each other. We are going to make each other mad. But the Bible says that, that what we need to do is we need to communicate that. Because when we go to somebody, we want them to hear and we want them to understand, and we should go in grace. Why should we go in grace? Because one day somebody's going to have to come to us and say, look, you said this and it offended me, and you were wrong in what you said, and we want it held, and we want it done the right way. And the Bible says here in verse number 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, folks, what the Bible's telling us here in the context of the Scripture, grieving the Holy Spirit of God is when we're bad-mouthing each other. Grieving the Holy Spirit of God is when our communication is corrupt, and when we're not handling things correctly. And folks, I guarantee you, I promise you, it will wind up bad. It will wind up bad. You say, well, what if I go to that person and they won't hear me? What if I go to that person and they won't get it right? You know, you can get it right even if they don't. Because you going to them should have nothing to do with getting it right in your heart. Because what you're doing, and what we're talking about here, your offense is not only to that other person, but your offense is to God. And you need to get it right before God, even if the person is not willing. And then it goes on in verse number 31. It says, let all bitterness. You know what happens to the lack of communication and when we say things we shouldn't say? Bitterness. It says, let all bitterness, wrath. You know what wrath is? Getting even. Wrath is when you're so angry and you're letting that fester and you're getting even. And so what you're going to do is you're going to look for any occasion to have a problem. And you know what you'll find? You'll find it. You know the old saying, if you look for trouble, you know what you're going to find? Trouble. And unfortunately, it's not hard to find. It says wrath. And then it says, and anger. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger. And again, we need to be careful about our anger. And clamorous and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know that word malice? That means ill intent. And again, you say, well, you know, preacher, you know, I'm not having that problem. Well, it develops, and unfortunately, it develops very, very quickly. And a lot of time, folks, these things can be solved, these things can be taken care of just by loving one another, forgiving one another, and removing things out of our life. And it's what we can see here, and as we're reading and we're going through this, what we can see is communication is not necessarily the problem of the other person. The communication is the problem within ourselves. And then in verse number 32, it goes on to say, and be ye kind one to another. Folks, showing kindness one to another. Making sure that we show to that person what we would want if they were in our shoes. The Bible says we need to be kind one to another. The Bible says tenderhearted. You know, the old saying, you know, we need to be a duck and just let it roll off our back. When we have problems in communication and we get offended, sometimes we lose our tenderheartedness. And I want to encourage you, as the Bible says here, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. We need to make sure that we're always willing to forgive one another. And forgiving means you've let it go. You've let it go. You know, I might get in trouble for saying this. sometimes we hang on to things. Now, ladies, I love you, but sometimes you hang on to things a whole lot longer than what you should. You know, us men, we get mad at each other, and we'll yell, holler, scream, duke it out, and it's over. But you know what ladies tend to do? And again, it's their makeup. In some areas, they're a lot more sensitive. Kind of hang on to it. Forgiving, the Bible says, forgiving one another. We need to make sure. And again, ladies, I need forgiveness, all right? And because I'm telling you this out of the kindness of my heart, out of the kindness of the Word of God, and as your preacher, and so, you know, according, we just read it in the Word of God, you all have to forgive me, all right? And forgiving one another, even as God, look at the comparison here, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Think about that for a minute. Even as God is a righteous, holy, and without sin. He has the right to judge you, to cast you into hell for your sin. But the Bible says, for Christ's sake. You know why he won't? You know why he doesn't? For those of us who are born again, because the Lord Jesus Christ took our sins to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ was nailed up there and paid for our sins. God is righteous and holy and has the right to judge us and send us to eternity in hell forever, but he's not going to for Christ's sake, because Christ paid the price, because Christ did what was necessary to make the atonement for sin. And what the Word of God is telling us here, we need to forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, somebody may have offended you. Somebody may have said something bad about you. Whether they meant it or not, you know what our responsibility is as a Christian to do? Forgive. As God, for Christ's sake. And we need to make sure that we forgive and that we make it right. And folks, again, as the Bible tells us, the devil, it says, neither give room for the devil. In 1 Peter, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Church, God has been good to us. God has blessed us in a mighty way. God blessed us through COVID. A lot of us have having health problems and being sick, and I'm going to share with you here in a moment and show you the plaque that we won during the track contest, and God has brought people our way, and God has blessed our church physically, financially. Let's make sure that we don't undo what God has done. Let's not give an avenue for the devil to come in and divide us and have this side over here and this side over there. We need to stay unified. And the best way that we can do that, folks, is by getting those things right with each other. Husbands and wife, this message will also work in the problems that you have in your own marriage by not letting the sun go down on your wrath. And when you do have a justifiable reason to get angry, be willing to forgive. Be willing to forgive. You know, and folks, I know that that is the hardest thing in the world to do. I've experienced it. I've had brothers in the flesh, flesh and blood, and I've also had fellow Christians that have said things and been mean and cruel and said things out of line. I understand. It hurts. It's painful. But you know what's worse and what hurts worse and what's more painful? Is living with it. Is living with it. You know, when you get it right, when you get it over with, man, I'll tell you what, there's a load taken off you that that you're carrying around unnecessarily. In church, let's not give place for the devil in our church so that we can grow and become the church that God wants us to be and getting the gospel into all the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, as we come to you in prayer, Lord, I ask that you would build a hedge about our church. Lord, I pray that you'd build a hedge about each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, as a church, to be willing to communicate different. Lord, to love one another. Lord, to be willing to forgive one another. And Lord, I pray that when we are offended and we have reason to get angry, Lord, I pray that we would not let the sun go down on our wrath. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with each and every person that's here. Lord, you know what the needs are in the church. Lord, you know who's battling who and what's being battled. Lord, I just pray that you would just reach down and touch hearts today. Lord, I pray that your will would be done. And Lord, I pray for those that might be among us today, Lord, that is lost. They don't know you as Savior. Lord, I pray that they'd be able to look at us and see Christ. Lord, I pray that they would be able to know that we love each other and that we love you most of all. And now, Father, I pray that you would have your will and your way in the rest of our service, Lord, in our invitation. And, Lord, I pray that your will would be done. In your name we pray. Amen.